Ready to maximize your travel and casino experience from both sides of the pond? From airline miles, hotel points, and loyalty programs to living in the lap of luxury in a Las Vegas casino, you'll find all of the knowledge you need to travel in style. Welcome to ZorkCast, powered by Travel Zork, helping you travel smarter, gamble smarter, and maximize your adventures. Now, please welcome the hosts of ZorkCast, Michael Mason Traeger, and everyone's favorite Brit, Steve White.
Hello, and welcome back to ZorkCast. Today, we have a very special guest, and it's going to be a very special episode. If the title intrigued you a little bit, that's good, because I think that's the wittiest I've been in the last 2 weeks. The title of this episode is Who's That Wong? And yes, the Wong we have with us today is David Wong of the Atlantic City Adventures with David Wong, as well as a number of other things we'll be talking about. So, welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me on the show. Long time listener.
No, it's... Well, thank you. And I know you are definitely somebody who loves Atlantic City. Or if you don't love Atlantic City, you're definitely putting a great act on. So let's just start a little bit of a background, because, you know, I found out a lot about you from the Everything Atlantic City group, and then you started your own group, Atlantic City Adventures with David Wong. So tell me, was it just all sort of off the cuff, or was it after you had like started to do a bunch of stuff in Atlantic City? I mean, I know you've been going to Atlantic City for a lot longer than these Facebook groups have been around.
Oh, yeah. I started probably Atlantic City around 2008, you know, turned 21, 22, and you're like, hey, let's go to the casino. I used to go to Tropicana all the time. For me, that was the place to be. You know, love the people there, you know, just big enough. You know, wasn't too small, wasn't too big, but the staff was very great, you know. Yeah, I started out at Everything Atlantic City, but at some point, I just decided to branch off. What happened was I kind of gained a lot of popularity there. And, you know, I was talking to some friends and such. And at one point, we just decided that, you know, I should just have my own group. This way, I don't interfere with, you know, that group's rule or anything. I mean, I'm still friends with them. I'm still in that group, but I'm just more active in my own.
No, it's cool. And it almost seems like it was a little bit like, it's just like a lot of the group is based on your adventures and what you do. And I totally get that, because, you know, obviously you're sharing a lot of stuff that you do in Atlantic City, especially focused around slots, which everybody loves to hear about today. Like, when you come to Atlantic City, you said you started at Tropicana, and I'll be all over the place here because I love talking about Atlantic City. I think Trop is a very interesting property, and they have some really interesting suites there with, like, the duplex stuff and all that stuff going on there.
Yeah, been in there.
And it was always has been a big property for table players also, and I think you like to play tables as well as slots, even though you mostly focus on talking about slots.
Yeah, very interesting, actually. I'm actually considered a table player. Even though I do play a lot of slots, but I actually, for the casino, I'm actually considered a table player. But obviously, you can't take pictures, you can't film on there. And for me, you know, like, that bit's a bit more private side for me. You know, I do occasionally, you know, show some table things, but not too much. The slot machines, that's very entertaining, you know. There's not much thought to it. You know, you just sit there, push a button, and hope the bells start ringing, you know. But yeah, I'm mainly a blackjack player. Love blackjack. You know, I probably dedicate at least half my trip to playing blackjack and then the other half playing slot machines.
Yeah, I also think it's different. You know, everything now with all the YouTube and social media, I think slots are just a lot more engaging from like that whole format. I think most of the time, and I think a few people have done a little bit on YouTube, watching table action usually isn't really that exciting. I think it's exciting when you're playing tables, but not so much watching it.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of the table game action ones. And, you know, sometimes I sit there and cringe like, oh, I don't know why he did that. Or, oh, that's exactly what I would have done. You know, too many critics out there for table game, you know, live streams. So that's why we kind of...
Well, that's especially with blackjack. Because everybody has an opinion about blackjack, whether that opinion is the right opinion or the wrong opinion. And there usually is only one correct opinion, you know, if you play basic strategy. And I always find that, you know, one of the things
you know, I like Baccarat because I always like that you didn't get into the opinions at the table. Now, of course, the interesting thing is that you're playing mostly high limit blackjack, so everybody knows what they're doing. You don't run into that kind of opinionated jerk thing that you often hear about with blackjack tables.
You like to think so. I try not to play with other people, so like playing high limit, I usually play solo. Honestly, I usually just try to get a reserve table. This way I can kind of do what I need to do without, you know, looking at other people's – I don't have to deal with other people, basically.
No, which is the right – I think that's probably the right way to go about it with table games. I also wonder sometimes if casinos are a little bit more worried about, you know, people recording table game action, because with slots, you're pressing a button. What's going to happen is going to happen. There's no control over the game. You know, I guess if you were playing high stakes video poker, people could critique your strategy. But still, that would just be your strategy. But with table games, there's always the chance that a dealer can make an error or something can happen that would be caught on film. And I often think people think that, you know, they don't want filming, but I sort of think in the back of my head that another thing is that the casino, you know, if they let you film and something goes down, you know, and there's a wrong payoff or something funny happens, like we see happen quite often when we play tables, it's then caught on film, which sort of makes everybody look bad.
Yeah, so yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I've sort of thought that, you know, with tables, it's a lot tougher, you know, like especially like if you were in the course of like a Baccarat game or something, someone, you know, drawing incorrectly on the third card rule or something like that happening and players getting paid when they're not supposed to get paid. That could be a little dicey for that for everybody.
Yeah, wrong commissions. Yeah,
exactly.
And stuff, you know. Yeah, you know, like New Jersey's one of the most strict, you know, gaming rules that they have in the U.S. A lot of like Pennsylvania and the surrounding states open up gaming. They basically took New Jersey as a platform and kind of branched from there. Because if you really look on YouTube, the only places that you can film table games is Florida, which is, you know, Indian reservation, right? Seminole properties. And then I think like one or two places in Vegas, like the smaller casinos on the old strip. But even filming for slots, that was quite hard in the beginning. I had to go through a lot of, you know, paperwork and a lot of loophole, you know. Even when I stream now, I still have to submit my, you know, when I want to stream, where I'm going to be. They put up signs that filming in progress. And I have at least a staff member watching me, you know, but they stay in the background because they know after a while, they kind of know, like, I know the rules.
I'm sort of what's always impressed me about slots, which is so tough, is that you always want to reach that next level of that, like, larger bet and that larger challenge. And I know you did that recently on Dragon Cash. I didn't even know those machines went up to, what was it, 1,000 a spin? Did they go higher than 1,000?
Well, for Hard Rock, they have 4 Dragon Cash machines at $2 denom with 500 credits. So that's where you get your 1,000. Now, if you look at Hard Rock Florida, they have those $1 million machines. They go up to $25 denom at 25 credits. So at 100 credits. So they can go up to 2,500. But the ones for Atlantic City only go up to $1,000 for Hard Rock at least. But yeah, you know, you're right. You know, you get a jackpot for 15 grand and then, you know, then you're like, oh, let's get a higher one. Then you get 20 and 25 and, you know, yeah, it was crazy.
When you did, because when you took that, I mean, I think it's one of the first times that I've seen anybody do a YouTube video where they were doing that $2 denom, you know, for the $1,000 a spin. You were literally just taking a shot. And I think you announced you were only going to do like 7 or 8 spins, you know, so $7,000 or $8,000. And then all of a sudden you hit the fireballs on the first spin. Which was crazy.
What happened was I was playing all night and I was up maybe $7,000 to $8,000 playing $100 to $200 a spin, and I converted them to $1,000 tickets and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give these $1,000 a shot. I'm already up money. Like if I lose it, I'm not losing my own money, you know. So I filmed the whole thing from the get go, and I think it was the second spin that I hit it on, and I got the bonus. And it was just crazy. It was, I think it was like $20,000 balls. It was insane. And boom, off the, you know, this was a couple weeks before New Year's Eve. And it ended up being, I think, $92,000 jackpot. You know, so that was the first time. So then, I said
and then
to myself,
it gets better. Yeah.
Yeah. I said to myself, I said, Dave, listen, don't play any more $1,000 slots because, you know, like it goes quicker than it comes, you know? So Christmas, New Year's Eve, I'm at the casino at Hard Rock and, you know, I'm playing and I'm just bored and I'm like, you know what? Let's give these $1,000 spins another shot. So as I'm playing, you know, I hit a flag bonus, a free spin bonus. So obviously start filming it and about three spins in, I get the ball bonus with, you know, bonus inside a bonus. And then they just started going, you know, started with like 7, 8 balls. Then it was 9, 10, 12 balls and that one little spot left. And there's this thing that goes around people
which
say,
we all know. Yeah. And just to interject. Yeah. It's that one little spot. That's always the hardest one because so many people are left with one more ball to fill it.
Yeah. But last ball, bottom left corner. So bottom left corner, you know, and as people always say, if it flickers, if the ball flickers while you're doing the spin, you got a shot. You know, like if you see the ball kind of peeking out every time you do that spin, you have a shot at it. So it just, it flickers once, nothing. Flickers twice, nothing. And the slot attendant was standing right there. So I just said it out loud. I said, $5,000. If I hit the grand, I'll give you $5,000. And then boom, boom, it hit it. You know, so hit the grand, $59,000, you know, and plus all the balls that I had. And on top of that, I had three more spins to go. So right off
so
the bat.
So that's why they've come up with Dave's – that's why they come up with David Wong's balls.
Yeah, big balls.
It's
big
all
balls.
About your balls.
Yeah. Wong loves big balls, I'm telling you. So at that point, I had maybe – I think it was 88,000 and three more spins. So in the bonus round, caught another good line pay. Ended up being 135,000 and change. I mean, what a great way to end the year. You know, New Year's Eve, $135,000 jackpot. I mean, you know, with hitting a grand inside a free spin bonus. I mean, you know, can't ask for a better way to end the year, you know?
Yeah, and this is where we do the public service announcement. Kids, don't try this at home.
Oh, yeah. No, listen. I say it all the time. Listen. I mean, my thing is this, like, not that I want to lose it, but, you know, I have gambling money set aside. If I lose it, I lose it. If I win, I win. But, yeah, people, don't try that. Bet what you're comfortable with, you know? You know, what do they say? I mean, play with your head, not over it.
Right. And also, I mean, when what's interesting about it is, you know, so that grand was 56,000. If that had been at down in Tampa, that grand could have been $1 million.
Oh yeah, the Tampa.
Right? Or is that a
the Tampa grand was
because that's just 1.2. The same grand.
Yeah, Tampa grand was at $1.2 million, which actually hit, and I actually know the lady that hit it. I met her before. She comes up to Atlantic City sometimes, and she hit it. And then 18 days later, playing the same machine, she hit the grand again. So within an 18-day period, she hit two grands at overall like $2.2 million.
And she was playing what, like 200 a spin, right?
The first grand she hit, she was playing $50 a spin. And then the second grand she hit, she was playing $25 denom at 10 credits. So she was playing $250 a spin. It just so happened one of the slot channels were there. So they caught the second grand being hit.
Wow. That's crazy. But people have to realize, especially, I mean, when you look at the math really easily with what you're running through those machines, especially the one where you were doing, you know, 1,000 a spin, you know, that grand is 56,000. That's really only 56 spins.
Yeah.
Of, you know, to give that money back. You know, of course, you're going to hit other things along the way. Well, I think sometimes people are just so floored by this, but they don't realize, like in high denomination, you are cycling a phenomenal amount of money through those machines, you know?
I get that a lot from, like, you know, some of the naysayers are like, oh, you know, it's only 135 times your bet. You know, I hit $135,000. You're like, but you're betting 1,000, so it's only 135 times your bet. But I'm like, hey, it's still 135 grand, you know? What are you going to do?
Absolutely. Well, also, the other thing is, and let's be honest about this, you don't just play 1,000 a spin all the time.
Oh,
I mean, this, you know, for you, I mean, if your regular is, let's say, I know I see you play pinball a lot. Usually that's what, is that 300 a spin?
300.
Or 300 a spin. Yeah. So this is significantly higher And that's on your high end, I think, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
When you do the $100 denomination. You know, a lot of your denomination is more like 25 and 50. So it's sort of like, you know, the way I look at it is when you're doing that thousand a spin, that's like when I take a shot at like $25 top dollar for 3 units. You know, that's 75 a spin. You're taking a shot for a thousand, but you are not, you know, that's, it's interesting you say that about the naysayers. It's like, that would only be true is if you were sitting there banging away, you know, a thousand a spin all day long, and you're not doing that.
No, so, definitely not.
I would like to say, as I like to say, is that variance was on your side. You know, like you definitely, there was a wonderful amount of luck there. And I love that. I mean, and that's great stuff to see. And it's exciting. I'm especially impressed by the challenges for tips that you do. I love that stuff because you are making those employees years. I mean, it's amazing because we do that at tables all the time where we put dealers on our bets or with our bets. But that doesn't happen with slots that much. But that's so cool when I saw you call that out. And it's like, how cool is that? That
you're like, so what happens is when I get a hand pay and I get paid by the slot attendant, what I tell, I love backup spins. I hate when people leave a slot machine on a bonus or like on a hand pay and they just walk away. You know, I'm like, you got to do a couple backup spins just to see if something hits, you know? And what happened was, what I usually do is, you know, I'll have them stand there and they'll be like, hey, I'll do 5 backup spins. So whatever the denomination I'm playing. And I'll usually say, like, if I hit a bonus within these 5 spins, I'm going to give you an extra $500, $1,000. Just depends on the machine I'm playing. So if you watch the video, which is, you know, I have uploaded, you know, on my new YouTube channel, that you'll see that once I hit the bonus, I handed off the $1,000 right off to her, right off the bat, because, you know, a deal's a deal. But they're so happy for her, so grateful, you know.
No, that's awesome. And your new YouTube channel is, what did you name it after all?
So I kept it very simple, Wong's Casino Adventures. It's just a new channel just started. I figure it was time for now, the world to see.
No, I love it. And yeah, that's right. Wong's Casino Adventures. And I'm going to put all of this into show notes so people don't have to think too much. Mm-hmm. And inclusive of myself. So what's interesting is, so I'm guessing when you started going to Atlantic City, you were very much just a table player. Am I wrong about that? Or is
that's
true
totally
when
true.
You first started to go?
No. You know, when I used to first go to the casinos, I was always just to my room, get ready, get some food, right to the blackjack table. You know, but I've always dabbled in roulette a bit, you know, but yeah, always a table player up until when Hard Rock opened about 3 or 4 years ago. Then I was messing around with the slots. You know, I was early in the morning. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just messing around. So I'm playing some slots.
Well, you know, that's okay. You know, what's interesting, you know, I had a thing for a lot of years when I first was into my casino stuff, and I was pretty much so tables and video poker. And back then, video poker could be really pretty good because you earn much more similar to, you know, to keep it simple, you earn much similar to what slot people were earning in video poker. Never exactly as much, but you were doing pretty well as a video
about poker. About 1 of 4.
Yeah. And in Atlantic City, you had a lot of good video poker. I mean, Atlantic City is one of the places that still has actually some decent video poker.
Yeah.
And, you know, back then I always had a thing like, oh, I won't play slots. And it was like a mind game, you know? And I was always playing mostly craps and baccarat. You know, that's what I enjoyed. But then over the years, I've warmed up a little bit to slots. I mean, maybe a little bit is watching other people play. But the other thing about it is the games are so much more entertaining now to watch than they were 5, 10 years ago. So there's just so much there, you know, going on that it's so interesting, you know. I mean, and also
all the bells and whistles,
lightning link stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's and I'm always curious what the next great thing is going to be or what the next idea that they're going to mesh together, you know, like with the Buffalo Link, you know, it's like, oh yeah, Buffalo. Now you've got Link. What are you going to throw together? You know, but so I find it to be interesting. And at the end of the day, you know, considering the way casinos have gotten so much tighter over the years with table players and with video poker players, you know, for the recreational players today, you know, and I hate to overgeneralize, but, you know, basically, you know, the casinos are still treating slot players very well. And if what your main goal is a recreational experience, and to enjoy yourself and to smoke and eat and drink and do all the things you want to do, it's a hell of a lot easier of a hustle, if you want to call it a hustle. It's not really a hustle to play a little bit more slots because, you know, the casinos are going to like you a little bit more. Whereas with tables, it's a constant struggle today because, you know, the way they're counting your Theo, the way they just want more and more play and bigger losses, and it's tough. At least have you, is that how your feeling has been? Like,
no, I agree. I mean, especially you being a Bach player, I mean, like, you sit there forever and you're like, oh, I made $47 in comp dollars. What happened there? You know, because it's such a player even game. I mean, if you really think about it, if you took Baccarat and took the commission out, you know, where's the casino making money? You know, because if there was no commission, you know, me and you would sit there, you play banker, I play player, and we split it. And next thing you know, nobody's losing money.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really, really tough with tables. I mean, I think the hard part with tables is that you need higher and higher averages to really move the needle at casinos. Like, casinos really want to see $3,000, $5,000 averages for many hours a day because they sort of want to feel they have a really good shot at your money. And I always say to people, and you play blackjack and you know how fast it is.
Oh, yeah.
Just for argument's sake, $1,000, you know, $1,000 average at blackjack, you're probably playing 80 hands an hour. I mean, if you're playing
solo.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're playing solo. Yeah.
And that's
more than that.
And the variance is, I mean, it's a low variant game, but it's still. I mean, it's anything can happen. You know, things, you could have huge swings. The amount you're spreading, it's tough. I mean, it's an extreme battle there, and it is a lot of money. You know, I mean,
you get on a bad run on blackjack, it's over. You know, one of the biggest mistakes I see people doing on blackjack, you know, they don't like to press their bets. You know, so you sit at a $10 table, and here's what I always suggest with people that ask me. I never tell people if they don't ask me because, you know, I don't want to be one of those people. But when they ask me, I tell them, I'm like, you got to press your bet. Like, even if you're playing at a $10 table, right? You know, if you win a hand, add a little bit to it. Add $5 to it. You know, you win that hand, add another $5 to it. I always go one unit at a time. So, like, if you got $10 up, that's two units. You win, add a unit. Win, add a unit. Because then you're betting your money and part of the casino's money, but you're able to build up your pile so much quicker. You know,
absolutely. I mean, it's not about, you know, and your point, I've said this to people, there's a moment, this is a true gambler talk. There's a moment where you seize an opportunity, and seizing that opportunity is never going to really give you what you would like if you flat bet it. Because, you know, in Baccarat, it's the same. You know, Baccarat, sometimes you hit 12 in a row, 14 in a row, 16 in a row. If you don't jump on that shit, and start press, and I'm exactly like you. Don't, I always say to people, don't double up, because you double up on things and then you lose.
Yeah, it doesn't work out.
But, you know, go up a unit or two, you know,
I mean,
keep going up. Because then when you do hit that, you know, those things that we dream about, you know, like, okay, I'm a Baccarat.
What do I dream about? Yeah, here's how I explain it with this. Sorry for interrupting. Here's how I explain this. You know, the averages say, you know, you really won't win more than three hands in a row playing blackjack, you know, that's very hard. But I've played blackjack long enough. I've had 5, 6, 12, 14 hands in a row that you just keep winning. But if you don't start pressing your bets when you're winning, by the time you realize you're on a good run, it's already too late. The train's already left the station, you know. So you got to get on that. As soon as you, you know, boom, you win a hand, add a unit. Even if you're playing a $25 table, add $5. Next bet, $30. Then $35. You know, just a little bit because – you know, it takes half the amount of hands to make the same money in double, you know, and you can make the same amount of money in five hands than you can in 10 hands if you have that little run, you know, so. But yeah, you're Baccarat.
I've noticed the same. Yeah, no, it's exactly the same. You know, at Baccarat, even if you're at like a $50 table and you've chipped up and you get to a $500 bet and you're like, oh, what should I do now? Well, don't keep flat betting at five. So go up. Okay, if you feel uncomfortable, go up 200. Go up 100, but keep going up. So now you've gone up 200 to 500 bets up to seven. Okay, So you don't have to go to 1,000, go to 900, because you're going to be kicking yourself if that run continues. And I know what people are saying. Yeah, but I was at 500 and I went to 7 and then I lost. Yeah, but how about the bets you won before that? And absolutely, if it continues on, you know, you're going to really kick yourself, because nothing is worse than it finishing a run of Baccarat 14 in a row and the bet you have out there is $120.
Oh, my God. Yeah, not, yeah.
I mean, it's just, you're going to kick. And it's, you know, it's the same at craps. I usually say to people, you know, craps, a lot of times I'll, you know, because you have a lot of bets out there, I'll say, okay, you don't start pressing right off the bat. But, you know, you've got your, say you have your 6 and your 8 and you've got maybe another number, or maybe you're on the line and you win a bet. Okay, now you're almost even on all your money. Now you need to start pressing. What I do at craps is I like to press every other. So no matter what it is, I just press every other bet, you know? Yeah. So now I hit the 8. That's great. Something else hits. Great. Something else hits. Press. Now, it's like I'm always like, collect, press.
Absolutely.
But you've got to get that going.
Yep. I do the same thing. I play craps once in a while, and I'll tell the dealer. And I'm like, you know, I was like, you guys drive. I said, here's what I want you to do. You know, if the 8 hits, I'm collecting. If it hits again, press it up a unit. You know, and then just keep going that way. Don't ask me, just whatever. You know, just keep going.
The best sessions I've ever had is when you're with those kind of dealers and they drive. Because I'll tell you, honestly, I become a pussy. Because, you know, I'll get my 8 up to 300, and then I'll be like, maybe I'll collect a few more times. But then if I collect 4 times at 300, I probably should have been collecting at least one of those times at 600 and one of those times. I admit it right away. And this is just from years of observation. You know, the reason why, setting aside math, and the games are negative expectation games, and what's going to happen is going to happen. Everything's based on the long run, but anything can happen in the short run. And it's all about seizing those opportunities. That's why we gamble. Yeah, otherwise, absolutely. What's the point?
The thrill. You know, the thrill.
If you're not going to seize those opportunities, it's crazy. But I had a feeling you started off as a table player, like dominant, and still a table player.
I mean, people ask me, and I don't really like to talk about how much I gamble on tables, but I tell them, listen, if I casually play slots at $200, $300, $1,500 a spin, what do you think my table action is? You know, and most of them understand what I'm trying to get at. You know, but interesting thing about craps, you know, you ever play the hard ways?
Oh, I love to parlay. Parlaying a hard 6 and a hard 8. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, I always do that. I'll go $10 all the hard ways. If I hit, I'm like, parlay the bet. I'll parlay the whole thing. Because you figure if they don't hit it, it's only $10 you lost. You know, but if
yeah,
you hit
and
it,
I do the same with 5 most of the time.
Yeah.
It's turning a $5 bet into $450, right? I mean, right? I mean, because basically instead of collecting the 45, you're going to 50, and you know, that's 450. But it's why I honestly believe that's why we gamble. So your favorite place now is Hard Rock. A lot of people like Hard Rock. Have there been other favorite places in Atlantic City, or what really drives you to Hard Rock? I mean, I know Hard Rock is doing all the right things. I mean, I see their new Asian table rooms amazing. The place looks great. Great restaurants. I hear the hosts are great. I mean, do you still skip around to any of the other properties, or are you pretty much so a Hard Rock guy?
I'm more so a one property guy. I don't like to spread myself too thin because, you know, like you spread yourself too thin, your offers, you know, kind of dwindle a bit. I started my host that works at Hard Rock. And she doesn't like me calling her a host because she's executive director of national marketing. So I knew her years before she started working there. You know, I went there when they opened. She invited me over. Just fell in love with the property. It's so lively there. You know, so lively, so bustling. You know, the setup is great, you know. So that's why I kind of always go back to Hard Rock. And my group is really consistent of that. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, I mean, I love what I'm seeing at Hard Rock. I'm extremely impressed by it. As a lover of Atlantic City, I love seeing good things happening in Atlantic City because we had a couple of years there that were getting a little bit dicey.
Yeah.
Gotcha. How about other places to gamble? Do you gamble anywhere outside of Atlantic City? Of course, you've gone to Vegas, or is it mostly Atlantic, not to put words in your mouth, is Atlantic City like really hit that convenience factor for you? Or,
yeah.
Because you could easily be going out to Vegas once or twice a month if you really wanted to.
So I own my own business. I sell kitchens, cabinets, and countertops. So I work 6 days a week. So I usually just go down to Atlantic City on the weekends. It's about a 3-hour ride. Sometimes when they send the plane, it's about 30 minutes. Can't beat that. But yeah, it's mostly out of convenience. You know, occasionally, about once a year, I try to book a Vegas trip for like 4 or 5 days. You know, I usually, you know, like last couple of times I stayed at MGM Grand, been down to Florida properties a couple of times. But, you know, for me, it's just hard to get away from work for multiple days. You know, I mean, no point of going to Vegas for one day. I mean, what's the point of that? You know, there are local casinos near me. Mohegan Sun, Pennsylvania, Mount Airy, Wind Creek. They're all within, you know, an hour drive. But the local, you know, they're so small. They're good for the average player. And nothing wrong with an average player. But, you know, for me, there's really nothing there for me, you know.
I hear, I mean, that's often the problem at a lot of those local properties, because what you want is you want that convenience factor, but you also want some nice restaurants, a spa, you know, a place, you know, and that's a lot of that stuff is difficult at local casinos, with exception of, like, I was before the show, we were talking, like, Mohegan Sun, Connecticut, and Foxwoods are exceptions on local casinos that have a lot to offer. But depending on where you live, getting there is a lot worse than Atlantic City. But I mean, you sort of confirm what I talk about quite often, which is that Atlantic City is a great place to gamble. And I've said this to a lot of people because people love to beat up on Atlantic City. And I'm very transparent on saying, if you ask me where I prefer to gamble more, I usually prefer to gamble more in Atlantic City than I do in Las Vegas, especially because, you know, I'm a Borgata guy and dice tables at Borgata are always great. I hear they're really good at Hard Rock too. And you always have a game, even in the midweek, you know, that kind of stuff. There's always like decent action usually. I mean, now with the COVID stuff, I think we're getting back to normal. But Vegas can be very, very sleepy, like midweek, even on the strip and that kind of stuff. Because you just don't have, I don't know, because the convention people don't gamble as much. And I think there's something about that, like, hardcore Atlantic City still gets like that, a little bit of like that hardcore locals market. I don't know how to how you describe it, but it is like a more hardcore locals market.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, if you want to gamble, you go to Atlantic City. The thing with Vegas over the years, a lot of the casinos properties focus more towards food and entertainment, nightclubs. You know what I mean? A lot of the revenue comes from nightclubs. You know, I mean, I've gone to Vegas, $5,000 for bottle service. You know, things like that. I mean, obviously they get picked up, but, you know, big charges. So I think, you know, Vegas is more so focused on, in my opinion, you know, entertainment and food and such. So like, you know, for somebody that just wants to go gamble and eat some good food and stuff like that, you know, Atlantic City, if you're on the East Coast, that's the way to go.
Yeah. And also now, I mean, Vegas is a little odd, you know, the bougie places like Wynn. Sometimes the table limits are going absolutely insane, which might not affect some people, but like at the level that I want to play. I mean, I was at Wynn, it was a month or two ago, in the high limit, the lowest denomination squeeze baccarat game was $500.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, the first thing I'm going to say is God bless them. Yeah. You know, if you could have $500 tables, I mean, God bless you, because that's significant bankroll action. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely. But, you know,
some, I mean, at 500, you got to sit there with like 20 grand. I mean, I would think at a $500 minimum table, if you can't sit there with 20,000, there's no point in sitting there.
Exactly. And they've got, you know, in Vegas now, like at Wynn, it is not unusual. Dice tables, $50, $100 tables on the main casino floor. Mm. So it's just, you know, Vegas has gotten a little bit loopy with some of that. But yeah, Atlantic City is great. And I love to hear, you know, from people like you that it really is great, because I encourage people, you know, Atlantic City now is probably better than it's ever been before in what it's offering, you know. And I think it's something that people overlook sometimes because they have a bad, I don't know, they had a bad visit years ago or something strange happened, but I still think it's really worth it. So the one final thing I want to finish up with, I also know you do some great charity efforts with Hard Rock, and I just wanted you to tell everybody about that, because I love, between the taking care of the dealer, you know, the slot people and the tipping, I know you also are really big on doing some charity efforts, and I think that's just amazing that you managed to roll all this into it.
Yeah. So for the past 2 years, I've been working with Mike Sampson, who's the VP of casino operations at Hard Rock, for the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. you know, he lost somebody close to him, and he always runs a Atlantic City chapter for a charity event. So the one year, you know, I was like, hey, let's get my group involved, you know? So what we did was we broadcasted it out, took donations, and I had this grand prize set up we call Rocking with Wong, you know, where we'll pick you up in a limo, we'll get you a suite, you'll have dinner with me, we'll gamble together, just all for a fun weekend. And it turned into this huge thing. And so we did it again this year, this past year, and like crazy numbers. I think between the 2 years, I mean, almost like $45,000 raised. You know, me, a lot of times people tell me, you know, they're like, they see me gambling and stuff. And they're like, you know, why are you gambling the money away? Why don't you donate it to this, donate it to that? And I'm like, well, but you don't see what I do, you know, in the background. I said, you know, every time if I see an old couple at the grocery store and I decide to pay for the grocery, I don't post about it. You know, it's just something that at the moment I'm like, you know what? That's something I feel like I need to do. And I just do it. Buying somebody's stranger's dinner. I'm at a restaurant, you know, whatever. Recently.
I've always been. I hear you. I mean, there are a lot of people who just, I mean, one of the hard things is when you put yourself out there, especially on social media, you've just got the I don't know why people want to be so negative, but
it feeds me, it fills me up, it makes me just go harder, you know. I don't get upset at all, you know, all these naysayers, you know, it just feeds my soul. Most recently, we had Hard Rock was gracious enough to have a holiday party for me and for my group. We had, and we tied it in with Toys for Tots because this was right around Christmas. We had, I think we had 300 spots available, sold out. It was a free, what it was there was no money involved for the admission. You had to give at least one toy as the admission. And I think within 4 days, all 300 tickets were actually accounted for. I think I overbooked at 3:30 just in case people canceled. But that event alone, you know, raised over 1,000 toys for Toys for Tots. You know,
great stuff. I mean, and I'm glad to hear that you feed off of the negativity because it's honestly the only way to live these days because we live in a world where there are just too many people who thrive on the negative or always looking for the negative angle of everything. And you know what? It's just, I honestly feel sorry for them because they have to be really miserable to always want to find the negative spin on it. But yeah. I mean, life is about finding, you know, happiness and the positive spins. And it looks like you've done a lot of that. And
yeah,
and
I always say, so I'm too busy enjoying life, you know? I always say, I'm too busy enjoying life. But if you're going to take all that time, I appreciate you taking all that time trying to, you know, tear me apart, you know? But I live off of that. And, you know, but I just kind of brush it off and let it go. So.
Exactly. No, the best way to be. So what's the best, since we're going to wrap up, where's the best way for people to get in touch with you or to find you? What do you, through the Facebook group, through any other social media channels?
So, you know, the Facebook group is very active. We have currently over 9,100 members, and that's maybe in about 16 months, you know, gaining over 9,000 members. The group is called Atlantic City Adventures with David Wong. So, and you'll find, even though I'm very Hard Rock based, you know, if you have any Atlantic City questions, if I don't know it, somebody in the group will know and they'll post it. So, you know, great place to get information and share stories, you know. So, but lastly, I just started a new YouTube channel, like we discussed. This way now I can let those videos out in the world for people to watch and enjoy. But listen, Mike, I really appreciate you having me on this podcast, you know, longtime follower. And, you know, we chat in the DMs all the time. You know, you recently helped me book my trip to Florida for the flight. You know, that was a very easy transition there.
I'm glad that all worked out. Yeah, I was worried there. I figured, God, if Wong doesn't get to Tampa, then we're really screwed up. But then I'd blame it on American Airlines.
Nah, travel's work. I shut you down and my group would never use you. No, I'm just kidding.
it's fine. We're all good.
Yeah. But seriously.
Oh, the stories I could tell.
Yeah. Next time you're in Atlantic City, you let me know. You know, I want to take you out to dinner. I know you usually stay at Borgata. But, you know, at least come over to Hard Rock for dinner. We'll send the car for you. You know, we'll send the jitney for you. You know, private
jitney. Okay, you'll send a jitney? Okay, but yeah. I'm only going to go if you promise to put your toes in the ocean with me.
Absolutely.
Or get a pedicure with me.
Absolutely.
Either one.
We'll go to the spa.
Hey,
we'll go to the spa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I could do pedicures with Wong.
Yeah, pedicures with Wong. We'll have another podcast for that.
Excellent. Well, thank you again so much for joining.
No, thank you for having me
today. You know, we answered the question, who's that Wong? So anyway, thanks again, everyone. And until next time.
You've reached the end of your stay with us on this episode, but we encourage you to visit our website for more resources at travelzork.com and to continue the conversation on Twitter and Insta at TravelZork and on the ZorkCast Facebook group. Travel smarter, gamble smarter, and maximize your adventures right here on ZorkCast. Until next time, dream big and remember, a dollar won is twice as sweet as a dollar earned.